This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. It is our fifth lesson or session of the Aqeedah series of lessons under Al-Bina Al-Ilmi course. And today we are going to cover the topic of sorcery or sihr or magic, the reality of it, and how to protect yourself. And if someone is afflicted or affected by the magic, how to cure them. First and foremost, we need to understand that the magic is, or sihr is, of various types, and mainly it is divided into two categories, or two, you can say, two ways of doing the sihr, or the magicians use two main methods of practicing their magic. The first one is by reading or saying certain words or statements. And this reading includes writing as well, sometimes writing on a paper, words or digits or statements, things that actually please Shaitan, things that Shaitan is pleased with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with, such as drawing a box on a piece of paper and then adding some digit and numbers. And what is the purpose of those numbers? No one knows apart from the magician. Because these numbers, they have been taught by shayateen. The jinn or the shayateen, they are friend with. So those shayateen have taught them those numbers to put in that particular order on the form of those boxes. And sometimes they put some words, and sometimes mixture of digits and words, such as in one corner it will be written Jibra'il, another corner it will be written Fir'aun, another corner it will be written Mika'il, another one is Haman, or Harut, Marut, or words 6, 7, 8, 9, something like this. So whether it is in the form of writing or in the form of reading, sometimes the magician reads either in front of the person they intend to affect the magic on, or in the absence. And they may read on something, such as It is very common that when they read something, and whatever they utter, whatever they read, it is in order to please their friends from amongst the shayateen. So they read and they tie the knots. They tie the knots. And tying the knots is a symbol of causing some kind of problem and issue to the person who they want to affect. And this is what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there are clear-cut evidences that we find in the books of Ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, he was affected by sihr. And some people do not believe in this. Why? Because they think if we accept that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was affected by the magic, then it can bring about some kind of doubts on the Quran or the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But they tend to forget that when we say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was affected by a sihr, we do not believe that the effect of the sihr was on the revelation. The revelation, the wahi that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He alayhi salatu wasalam never got the wahi affected by the magic, because the wahi is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is divine and it is protected. But the way it affected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the effect was only in the worldly matters. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a food and he would forget that he had the food. Okay, this is nothing to do with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these kind of effects were there for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the one who did the magic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was someone from the Jews named by Labid ibn al-A'sam. And he is the one who tried in order to harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what they did. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that they were too much into, the Jews of that time, they were too much into playing magic. And this is what they tried. They tried to harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam using various ways. And this was one of their tricks or one of their ways of causing harm to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And we believe as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was affected by sihr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided him the divine protection, He dhul jalal ikram showed His mercy unto the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He revealed to us the ways by which we can protect ourselves. And there is long narration in Sahih Bukhari and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how the sihr affected the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and how he alayhi salatu wasalam then was cured. And it is mentioned in that narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He alayhi salatu wasalam went into he went towards a particular well within Medina al-Munawwara. That well was abandoned, basically. It was used for the rubbish and garbage. And it was full of garbage. And within that well, there were some threads and there were some knots. Some knots placed, some knots tied on those threads. And the Prophet ﷺ started reciting Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas. And while he was reciting, he alayhi salatu wasalam opened those knots. And as soon as those knots were opened, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt cured and relaxed. So this is an evidence. And this is something that is very common even until now. That the magician, they use the knots while they read something. So this is one way of practicing their magic or playing the magic by reading or writing. Another way is to play the magic by using some kind of, say, drugs or herbs. Some types of herbs or drugs, or it can be anything to be consumed or eaten. For example, the magician would recite or would say or would read certain words on a food, and that food is given to someone, and the core purpose or mainly the purpose, the core purpose or one of the core purposes of this type of magic is to either bring someone closer or to cause hatred. And this type of magic is usually used in order to break the marriages. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to test the people, He sent down two angels named Harut and Marut. And they would teach the people how to practice the magic. And anyone who would approach them, they would say, as Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. And before that, مَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. Whoever would approach them in order to learn the magic and how to practice the magic, they would say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. Beware, we are a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not commit kufr. And this is an evidence for the ruling on the sihr. And based on this ayah, the scholars, majority of the scholars are of the opinion that practicing the sihr or playing the magic is a form of, is an act of kufr. Because the angels, Harut, Marut, they would say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. And those who would insist to learn how to practice the magic, they would teach them, and their purpose or their reason behind learning the sihr would be to cause division or division between the husband and wife, or to break their marriage. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed that the Iblis, the head of shayateen, the chief of shayateen, he is pleased with his workers when they make the humans to commit sins. He is pleased with them, but the person who causes a problem between husband and wife to the extent that they divorce each other and they break the marriage, such shaitan and such worker of the Iblis is very close to Iblis, and he is very happy and pleased with him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that is reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah, that every evening Iblis places his throne on the water, and then he gets a report from his workers, and he asks them, "What did you do today?" One says, "I made someone murder someone," and the other one Iblis says, "You did something very good," and he says to the other shaitan, "What did you do?" And he says that I made someone commit zina. He says, "Very good." A third person, he mentions another sin. And then one shaitan, he gets up and he says, "I did something that none of them could do." He said, "What did you do?" He says that I caused a breakage between husband and wife. I caused problem between husband and wife. And Iblis gets so happy with him. He says, "Yes, indeed, you have done something much better than what the rest of the shayateen have done." And in order to cause problem between husband and wife, this is why the sihr is done. And this is second type of sihr. And it's obviously in order to cause hatred between husband and wife. And sometimes this type of magic is done in order to do other way around, which is basically to bring someone closer. That is why if someone falls in love with someone, and the other person, he's not too keen in having the friendship, you know, the first person A goes to the magician. He says, "Can you do something for me so that so and so that I love, they come closer to me and I can marry them. Okay? Or they can be very close to me. Or so in order to bring love, we should bear in mind that the breakage in the marriage or problem or hatred or love, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the magician, they use these kinds of methods in order to please the shayateen. Okay? Some people do not believe in the effect or in the impact of the magic. Think, how is it possible that a magician can cause a hatred, or magician can bring love in the heart of the person? We say it is all by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they used impermissible ways. It is very similar to someone who is murdered, someone who is killed. The murderer, the one who killed, can we say he is Ilah, he is Rabb, he is God because he caused someone die? No. He was a means and he used impermissible means. But the death actually, actual death comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person died by the permission of Allah. Allah had decreed for him. But the one who murdered, he is the one who committed sin. A child is born out of wedlock. He's innocent. The child is innocent. But the male and female, man and woman, who committed the zina, they are the ones who committed sin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed the life for that child who was born out of wedlock. So very similar is the magic. The effect of magic is true and we cannot deny it. But everything becomes effective by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the permission of Allah, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. And there are various other types, such as the type of magic that is basically done on the eyes of the people. The reality does not change. The reality does not change. But the magician, he plays his magic in order to deceive those who are there, those who are in front of him. And this is the type of magic that was practiced, that was played by the magicians who stood against Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. As Allah says in the Quran, that when they threw their robes and their sticks, what happened? Allah says, Saharu a'yunan nas, wastarhabuhum. Saharu a'yunan, they affected the eyes of the people. They bewitched the eyes of the people. Wastarhabuhum, and they caused terror and fear in the hearts of those who were there, including Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Being a human being, being a man, he was also frightened. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Ya Musa, aqbil wa la takhaf, innaka minal aminin. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْحَى. That those who were there, they thought that those ropes and those sticks, they have turned into snakes and they are running around. But in reality, nothing changed. So they basically did the magic on the eyes of the people. Okay? And that is for a very short period of time. And those magicians, they knew the reality of their magic. That is why when they saw the staff of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they understood that this is a reality. This is real. The staff or the stick of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam actually turned into snake. And they were frightened. And that this is what made them believe in Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. They and then they said, Amanna bi Rabbi Haruna wa Musa. We believed in the Lord of Harun and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So there are various types of magic, and the ruling is that this is something that is classed either kufr or major sin. Imam al-Shafi rahimahullah, was of the opinion that the magician needs to be questioned. He needs to be questioned and he should be asked to present his magic. And then you can decide whether his magic is of the level of kufr or less than kufr. This was the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. But the other scholars, they held the opinion that any type of magic, it is kufr and it is major. It is major sin. Some scholars, they differentiated between learning the magic, learning how to practice and how to play the magic, and practicing the magic, actually. So they say learning about magic and how to exercise, how to practice the magic, this is something that is haram, is a major sin. And after you have learned, if you practice it, if you say those words and you do all of that, then it becomes a kufr. This is an act of kufr. There are, in order to protect yourself from the magic, there are a number of ways. But before we go into that, let's talk about approaching the magician. You go to a magician. Is it permissible or impermissible? Impermissible. Why is it impermissible? What's the evidence? Okay, in order to expel the magic, okay, it all depends on your intention and the purpose of approaching the magician. For example, if you go to a magician in order to seek a cure from him, so say you know that you are afflicted by a magic, and you go to a magician in order to expel that magic, believing that he has the power to cure me, then this is an act of kufr. This is an act of kufr. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man ata sahiran aw kahinan aw arrafan faqad kafara bima unzila ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Whoever goes to a magician or the soothsayers or arraf, whoever goes to them, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. He has committed kufr on whatever has been revealed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the entire religion. He has committed the kufr against the religion of Islam. So if you approach a magician with the intention, for the purpose of getting a cure from him, believing that he has the power to expel your magic, and you know he's a magician, then it is a form of kufr. The second one is that you believe that the magician, he is a friend of shayateen and some jinn. And through jinn, he can help you. He can help you and he can cure you through the jinns. This is second purpose, you can say, or second reason for approaching the magician. Okay? If that's the case, then again, it is not permissible and it is an act of kufr. But this level of kufr is not same as the other kufr that takes you out of fold of Islam. The third one is that you just go and you approach the magician in order to see how they practice their magic. You are just curious to know and to understand. Okay? Whereas you know that you yourself are weak, you are weak in your iman, and approaching them for this purpose, okay, in order to just curiosity, you go approach and you try to learn and you try to know what and how they practice their magic. Again, this is something that is not permissible, it is prohibited. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked this question. A companion asked the Prophet sallam, he says, "Inna minna rijalan ya'tun al-kuhan." O Messenger of Allah, amongst us are the people who approach the kuhan. Kuhan is the jama of kahin, soothsayer. or a magician. The Prophet ﷺ simply said, "La ta'tihim," don't approach them, don't go to them. No point. Because you may approach them just simply with the intention of knowing how they practice their magic. And you never know that they may show you something and you get deceived and you end up believing in them. And it can drag you towards them and towards their deception. And it can affect your iman. That is why it is not permissible. Another type of approaching the magician is in order to assess them or test them. So someone is blamed that he is a magician. In order for you to establish whether he is a magician or not, you may approach them and you may ask them certain question. And you may ask them, as I just mentioned, Imam Shafi rahimahullah was of the opinion that the magician should be asked to present his magic. And then based on the type of magic, the ruling is issued. If it is done for this purpose, then it is permissible, as this is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself did to the person that was known as Ibn Sayyad in Medina Munawwara. And he was known as a magician. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him a question. He says, "Ma ya'tik?" What comes to you? How do you find out the news? He says, "Ya'tini sadiqun wa kadhib." I get sometimes true news and sometimes false news. Okay, he himself said that. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him this question. The Prophet ﷺ approached him and he asked him that question. And the purpose of his approaching Ibn Sayyad, the magician, was to test and to question him what kind of magic he practices. So it all depends on your intention. Someone who is solid in his iman, someone who has enough knowledge, strong knowledge of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they may approach a magician for the purpose of testing them and questioning them. But the same magician should not be approached by someone who is weak in their iman or for the purpose of getting some kind of cure from them. Okay, next one is how to protect yourself. So there are two levels. The first level is to protect yourself from a magic, from sihr. And the second one is, if you are affected by a magic, how to expel the magic. Okay, so there are two levels. So it is very similar to what we mentioned previously under the lesson of ruqya. Remember, we mentioned the ruqya is of two types. One is the ruqya that you should do on a regular basis in the form of morning and evening adhkar. You should do that anyway in order to keep yourself protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the effects of shayateen and jinn. The other type of ruqya is that once you are afflicted by a black magic or by shayateen, by jinn, then you do the ruqya. But the cure is only in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or by using those medicines that are recommended by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or some kind of food, such as what? Does anyone remember any kind of thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suggested? Ajwa date. Particular ajwa date. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever eats 7 ajwa dates in the morning and 7 dates of ajwa in the evening, he will be protected from a sihr, from the magic. And some scholars have suggested zaytun, the olive oil as well, and some other permissible herbs or the types of foods. They are all permissible. And Zamzam is also a cure. So these type of things can be used along with the ruqya. And if someone is afflicted by a magic, then a strong ruqya is required for them. Strong ruqya means ruqya, including the ayat of the Quran or perhaps the surahs of the Quran, on a regular basis. And the strongest ruqya is Suratul Baqarah. Suratul Baqarah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تستطيع هالبطلة. Suratul Baqarah is such a strong surah that the magicians cannot confront it. As he said in a hadith, إن أخذها بركة وتركها حسرة ولا تستطيع هالبطلة. The learning of Suratul Baqarah is complete blessing and barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرًا, and abandoning Suratul Baqarah is nothing other than a regret. A person who does not read Suratul Baqarah, a person who does not memorize Suratul Baqarah, a person who does not try to understand Suratul Baqarah, or a person who does not try to listen to Suratul Baqarah, all of that is nothing other than regret. And لَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَ, and the magicians cannot confront it. So the strongest cure against the magic or the sihr is Suratul Baqarah. If a person is unable to recite the complete Suratul Baqarah, then the first five verses of Suratul Baqarah and Ayatul Kursi, which is within Suratul Baqarah, and the last two ayat of Suratul Baqarah should be recited. And when it comes to a full ruqya against the magic, then the scholars have suggested that all those ayat of the Quran that talk about the magic, those ayat should also be recited. Such as a number of verses within Suratul A'raf, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the story of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, how those magicians play their magic and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their heart and they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same story is repeated in Surah Yunus and then Surah Shu'ara and in other places of the Quran as well. Likewise, the ayat that contain the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these shayateen and these jinn, because magic is done through the shayateen, and those shayateen, they make the magician to commit kufr and to commit an act that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to expel the magic, you recite the ayat of the tawheed of Allah. Because what is the opposite of kufr is the tawheed of Allah. So you recite the ayat of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as Ayatul Kursi, such as the last three verses of Suratul Hashr, Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illahu, alimul ghaybi wa shahada, huwa ar-Rahmanur Rahim, until the end of the surah. Such as Suratul Ikhlas. All these verses of surahs, they contain nothing other than the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beautiful names of Allah dhul jalali wikram. Likewise, Mu'awwidhatayn or Mu'awwidhat. 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 Mu'awwidhatayn, when we say the word Mu'awwidhatayn, includes Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas only. Mu'awwidhatayn, two protectors. And Mu'awwidhat includes Suratul Ikhlas, and according to some ahadith includes Suratul Kafirun as well. That is usually known as four quls, because each of these surah starts with qul. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, qul huwa Allahu ahad, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, qul a'udhu bi rabbil nas. So these four can also be recited along with the other ayat of the Quran, as well as the ahadith of Rasul, or the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. And in order to do the ruqya, as you mentioned previously, it is always better if the person who is afflicted by a magic, he does the ruqya himself, unless the person is completely unable. He's affected by a magic, in a severe type of magic, that he's unable to move his tongue, unable to do anything. And we should also bear in mind that when you recite the ruqya, either the person who is afflicted by the magic, he or she, they recite the ruqya themselves, or someone else recites the ruqya on them, what happens usually what happens, the shayateen, they react. They react. Why? Because by listening the recitation of the Quran, they are hurt. And remember, the shayateen are your enemies. And what happens to your physical enemy amongst the human beings? If you slap your enemy, what happens? Is he going to stay there? No. He may slap you 10 times. Yes? So this is what shayateen do. And those who are weak in their iman, those who are weak in their iman, or those who are not practicing, what happens? As soon as shayateen react and they try to cause harm, they give up on ruqya. And when shayateen realize that the person is so weak in his iman, they become even brave, more brave. And they harm him even in a greater way. And they harm him more. Because now they have understood that the person is weak in his iman. As for the one who is strong, and he continues retaliating and attacking the shayateen by reciting the Quran, by reciting Suratul Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, Suratul Ikhlas, Mu'awwidhatayn, by reciting these constantly, the shayateen, what happens? Because your enemy, again, like a physical enemy, you continue slapping your enemy, what happens? He's going to run away. When your enemy knows that you are stronger than him, then only he runs away. And this is exactly what happened to shayateen and jinn. When they try to harm you and they retaliate at the start. But if you show them that you are stronger than them, obviously you are mu'min. And you must show that you are stronger than them. And then you continue reciting the Quran and harming, hurting them by the recitation of the Quran, then they run away. And unfortunately, those who do not practice the religion of Islam, the ruqya they recite themselves, or if someone recites the ruqya on them, it has little effect. And when we say practice, it includes two main things. First one is the belief of the person. If the person does not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the person is into shirk, committing shirk with Allah dhul jalal wa ikram. And second thing is, if the person does not offer his 5 daily prayers, then there is not going to be the impact of the ruqya. No matter how many times Suratul Baqarah is recited unto them, and no matter how many raqis they have tested and trialed. Why? Because the foundation is not there. Foundation is not there. It's like, you know, that some magic becomes sometimes like cancer. If someone is affected by, someone is afflicted by a cancer, what happens? Sometime before they use the medicine, their strong treatment need to be done. Their foundation need to be laid. Or if someone has any lump in their body, do the doctor say you continue using the medicine and there's no need to do the surgery? No, you need to do the surgery. That is the foundation. If the foundation is not there, the medicine is not going to affect. So likewise, Tawheed and Salah. These are the two main things. As long as person believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he understands the tawheed of Allah dhul jalal ikram, and he is strong in his belief in Allah and his iman and his tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he offers 5 daily prayers, then the ruqya will always help him. But if the person does not pray, or the person is into shirk and khurafat, then the ruqya of the Quran is not going to affect him, not going to be beneficial to him. And then what happens? Such people, they end up blaming the Quran, na'udhu billah. And some even complain that I have recited Suratul Baqarah, or I've been playing Suratul Baqarah for the past, you know, these many months or even years. And if you ask them simple question, dear brother and sister, do you offer your 5 daily prayers? No, I don't. means if the person doesn't pray 5 times a day, it means that they do not keep themselves clean. And if the person is not clean, then he and she themselves, they invite the shayateen. The shayateen, they love impurity and najas. You stay najas all the time and you invite the shayateen. Remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The shayateen are always with you. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a person enters into his house and he says, Bismillah, what happens? Shaitan leaves the house. He says, we cannot stay in this house. I cannot stay in this house because the person has entered into the house by saying Bismillah, mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaitan says, there is not going to be any food for me and there is not going to be any place for me to stay overnight. And if the person enters the house without saying Bismillah, without saying Salam, Shaitan enters as well with him. Shayateen are always around you. And Shaitan is always after you. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has encouraged us to say the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith, before entering the toilet. Why? Because that is the place full of impurity. You go there in an impure place and you need to seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you go into that. And what about the person whose body and his clothes are najis and they're impure and they do not offer the salah, they do not pray and they do not even perform wudu? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has encouraged us to try our best to remain in the state of wudu. That is why this is another cure for the person who is afflicted by jinnah, by jinn or by magic. That they must try their best to remain in the state of wudu as much as they can. Because the person who is in the state of wudu, he's pure. And they cannot be attacked by shaitan. Another thing that a person who is afflicted by magic, another cure for them is that they must stay away from the places or from the actions that are beloved to shayateen. Places that are beloved to shayateen, such as the place where haram is committed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the question. You know the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ was asked the question, what are the best places or the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this earth? What did he say? Masajid, the house of Allah dhul jalal ikram. And then he was asked, what are the worst places on the face of this earth? He said what? Souqs, marketplaces. A person who is afflicted by magic, they must try their best not to go into marketplaces unnecessarily. Likewise, a place where music is played, or a place where the tasaweer and the photos are displayed. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَيْتًا فِيهِ سُورَةً. The angels do not enter into the house in which there are pictures. Okay, unfortunately, the picture fitna is too much nowadays. Too much. Even on the clothes, the children's clothes, and on the books and newspaper, this and that, everywhere. It is very, very difficult to avoid. But the person who is afflicted by magic, they must try their best to avoid and stay away from these types of things that are beloved to shayateen. Because by doing so, if you stay closer to these things, the shayateen will come closer to you. So you need to bear in mind all of these things. And then, as I said, the person who is afflicted by magic, they should try to do the ruqya themselves. Unless a person is unable to recite, he or she herself or himself is unable to recite, then someone else may recite unto them. But we never advise to approach a raqi. Okay? To approach a raqi. Why? Because it weakens your iman. And also, bear in mind, the ruqya is like a medicine. And ruqya is like a medicine. And one dose of medicine does not benefit. You need multiple doses. You need to use the medicine for a number of days and weeks and months and sometimes years in order to cure yourself. Same applies to the ruqya. If you invite a raqi, he may do one session and then he leaves and the shayateen are back. The effect of the magic is still there because the shayateen know that the person himself can't do anything. They may run away when the raqi comes in, and as soon as the raqi leaves, they come back. And one or two session or few sessions is not going to work. That is why it is always better to do ruqya yourself on a regular basis. And someone who is afflicted by magic, by doing the ruqya, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having strong tawakkul and trust in Allah dhul jalal ikram, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures them, then they should continue with that ruqya and they should never stop. They should never stop. And this is another problem, that some people who are afflicted by a magic, they get the ruqya done by someone, or they themselves do the ruqya and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures them. As soon as they are cured, they stop doing the ruqya. And as soon as they stop doing the ruqya, what happened? Shayateen know that they can't do anything against us anymore. So they affect the person again. And they attack the person again. So in order for all of us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from jinn, from shayateen, from magic. And we need to take these precautions by having the habit of doing the morning and evening adhkar. Having the habit of reciting mu'awwidhat on a regular basis. Acting upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reciting Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas once after every salah. 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening, and 3 times before going to sleep. Recite Ayatul Kursi after every first salah. Recite Ayatul Kursi before going to sleep. Recite last 2 verses of Suratul Baqarah before going to sleep. And recite Suratul Baqarah as much as you can. And you don't have to finish Suratul Baqarah in one sitting, within one day. You may recite few pages today, few pages next day. You may complete over a number of days. It is permissible. And once you finish, you recite again and again and again. Continue reciting on a regular basis. And if you have the habit of reciting Quran on a daily basis, it's even better. You recite the Quran from cover to cover. And you try to finish the Quran, as the scholars have suggested it is, for a believer to complete the entire Quran from cover to cover at least once a month. So you recite one juz every day. And have these, all these are precautions. And if you are afflicted, hopefully by the permission of Allah, the person who does all of it, hardly you find a person that is afflicted by a magic or he's possessed by jinn. Hardly you find a person. And if such person, it is possible, as I just mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ, he was doing all of that and he was affected by the magic. It can happen. But again, increase the ruqya. If by reciting all these ayat, all these types of ruqya, all these verses and surahs of the Quran, you are still affected by magic, it doesn't mean that you stop. You increase. And once you are affected by magic, you increase your ruqya. For example, you recite Suratul Baqarah and you complete Suratul Baqarah in every 3 days. And you see, there's no much difference. It doesn't mean that you stop reciting Suratul Baqarah and try to find something else. Or you may approach someone else, a raqi or professional or moneymaker or whatever. Okay, rather than doing that, what you need to do? Increase. As I gave the example previously, you have a headache, you take one paracetamol, it doesn't affect. What happened? You give up? No, you increase the dose before you move on to another painkiller. You increase the dose. and you increase the medicine. But why not increase when it comes to reciting the Quran? There is always khair. If you are, you know, you recite Surah Al-Baqarah in complete Surah Al-Baqarah in every 3 days, and you see little effect, little impact of that, then you may increase. You may try to recite Surah Al-Baqarah every day. Increase the recitation of Mu'awwidhat. As I said, the Prophet ﷺ recommended reciting these three surahs, last three surahs of the Quran, Ikhlas, Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas, three times in the morning, three times in the evening, three times before going to sleep. If you are still afflicted by magic or you are possessed by jinn, increase. There's no harm in continuously reciting these surahs while you are driving, while you are walking, while you are sitting in the masjid. Increase the recitation of these. So the cure, the conclusion is, the cure is only in the Quran. There is no any other way. Inna shaytana lakum aduw, fattakhiduhu aduwa. Shaytan is your enemy, and treat him like enemy. Shaytan is stronger than you, and you need to treat shaytan, you need to retaliate, and you need to attack shaytan by something that is stronger than shaytan. And nothing is stronger than the speech of Allah, the kalam of Allah, the words of Allah, the book of Allah, the Quran of Allah, Dhul Jalali Wikram. And stick to the Quran, stick to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the cure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to understand. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from jinn, from shayateen, from magicians, from magic. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to stay closer to him, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. I've seen people say that some people are afflicted with disease. Can this extent be true and some die because they've been afflicted? Yes, yes. The sihr can cause death. The sihr can cause death. As the sihr causes other health issues, it can cause death as well. Yes. But again, as I said, just remember, the sihr is like a tool that the magicians use. Yeah, the brother is asking, what are the signs? There are many, many signs. As I said, one of the types of sihr that is done on husband and wife. Say, both of them, the couple, they were very happy and they had no problem in their marriage. They've been married for a number of years. There's no problem. All of a sudden, you see the change in the mood of the husband or in the mood of the husband or the wife. Okay? And you see the change in the behavior and the attitude. Okay? So much so that they end up having argument on little and petty things, and they are very close to breaking their marriage or close to divorce, then it can be seen as a sign of a magic. Likewise, a person who has been fine and in terms of their health, they are completely fine, all of a sudden they see the change in health. For example, losing the weight, they go to the doctor. Okay, the doctors, they do all that, they carry out all the tests and everything. Everything comes fine, nothing. But they still have those kind of, say, tiredness, fatigue, forgetfulness. They forget, you know, all these type of things. Then this is another sign of magic. So there are other signs as well. Okay. How come when the kuffar recite their holy books or do them, do the shayateen leave even though they are people of shirk? Okay, an interesting question. When someone who does not believe in Allah, they recite certain things, okay, and the person they recite on is cured. It happens. It's a reality. Okay, so how can that be effective? Yes. So shayateen are friend. As Allah says, وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ. The shayateen, they have their very strong, say, network or communication. Okay? One shaitan, he hurts you. The other shaitan comes and he says, I'm going to say this and you utter this, then that harm will go away. But both of them, they are actually friend. So the person goes away and what happens? You end up believing in that first shaitan. You end up believing that yes. And this is what happens. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It's a trick. Yeah, it is trick. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw his wife wearing something in her neck. And he asked, what is that? She says, because my eye was hurting. And someone gave me this kind of thread to a kind of necklace to put in my neck. So when I put it in my neck, you know, I felt okay. You know, I felt cured. Abdullah Masood said, take it off. And he said, it is nothing other than a trick of shaitan. Because shaitan is the one who was poking in your eye. And shaitan wanted you to do something impermissible. And once you have done something impermissible, shaitan is happy and he leaves you alone. This is how shaitan was. So this is what happens to these people. Likewise, as I said, you know, when you go to a magician, the magician may help you. He may recite something and he may help you. And apparently it seems that you are cured for a short period of time. Okay? So what happens? You believe in that magician. Okay? And your iman is already weak. And shaitan becomes happy as well. Because this is what shaitan wanted you to do. To have a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have a weak connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to have strong connection with the magician. And this is what you do. You did that and shaitan is pleased and he's not going to hurt you anymore. Okay? That is why those who are into sins and ma'asi and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, generally they live very happy life. And those who practice the religion of Allah, they go through hardships and difficulties. Okay? Because shaitan makes difficult for them. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them and some shayateen cause. And those who are on the path of shaitan already, shaitan is pleased with them. Why is shaitan going to hurt them or harm them? Because shaitan is already happy with them. He's not going to cause any problem to them. Okay. If someone listened to the whole of Surah Al-Baqarah, will this suffice or do they have to read it to be protected? Listening helps, but reading helps more. It is always better if you read. Okay, listening as well helps, yes. Someone has been afflicted with the sihr, should they be ashamed? No. As long as they are practicing, they have strong iman, they offer their 5 daily prayers, and then they are afflicted by magic, they don't need to be ashamed. And someone who doesn't practice the deen, someone who doesn't pray, and they are afflicted by magic, yes, they need to be ashamed so that they rectify their own problems and they start practicing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the pen lifted for a person who is seriously afflicted? Yes, the person who is afflicted to the extent that he does not know what he says and he loses his senses, then the pen is lifted. Can evil eye be prevented as well? Yes, evil eye is also prevented through the evening, morning and evening adhkar and all what I've mentioned. How do we treat someone who is not praying? Maybe due to a sihr or something else. This person may have the belief but are not able to establish the 5 daily prayers. Okay. As he said, it's very Allahu alam. In my opinion, in my whatever I've seen, I never come across a person who prays five times a day, and he is afflicted by magic to the extent that he is unable to pray now. It happens to those who say that, I would like to pray, but I'm unable. Why? Because they never practiced. They were not regular. And once they are possessed by jinn or they are afflicted by magic, now they want to pray, but they are unable. Okay? Such person is different from someone who was regular in his or her five daily prayers, and then they are affected by or afflicted by sihr. If they are afflicted by sihr, their sihr is not going to be that strong. Okay? Because their sihr cannot stop them from praying, and even if the sihr does affect them, they can still recite the Quran within their memory, within their mind. Okay? Once I came across a person who was afflicted by the sihr so much so that they were unable to open their mouth. They were unable to say anything at all. Complete. Okay? And as well as the eyes, they could not open their eyes. Okay? Someone who was close to me and they were afflicted. But because they were practicing, she was a lady and she was practicing. She was praying all her five daily prayers. She used to recite the Quran on a regular basis. And within a number of days, alhamdulillah, she was cured. Because she continued reciting the Quran and doing the reading, all those supplications within her mind. And because shaitan tried to attack her, and what happened, when she continued reciting, shaitan knew that she is stronger in iman than the shaitan. Shaitan ran away. So it happens. But it cannot be to the level that the person is completely unable to pray. Can we blow the Quran on water and use drink this throughout the day? Is an evidence. Yes, it is something that is permissible. You recite and you blow on the water. But you blow, it should not be simple blow. Rather, it will be mixture of blow and a bit of your spit. And it is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Okay, is it permissible to pray Surah Al-Baqarah while you are asleep as a protection? Yes, you can do so. There's no harm, inshallah. In regards to picture, is it okay if they are hidden and not in display? Yes. If they, as you said, it is a big fitna nowadays. So if you have any picture, any images, you try to hide them as much as you can. Yes. Okay. Any question? Yes. True. Yeah, Harut and Marut. Yes. Yes, shayateen knew magic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is something, if you want to know the detail of that, then you go out and read the translation and the tafsir of that ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانُ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ. Shayateen used to practice the sihr, and they used to teach the sihr as well. Okay? It was very common during that time, during the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down those two angels as a trial and fitna, because the magic was prevailing, it was common at that time, and Allah sent the angels to basically teach them. As Allah says, those angels, they also taught the sihr, okay? But Allah sent them as a test. And what was the difference between the shayateen and these angels? Shayateen would teach, and they would say, it is something very beneficial for you. Whereas the angels, they would say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرُ. And this was, although it was a trial from Allah, but at the same time, a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. The angels would tell each one of those who would approach them, they would say, we are trial from Allah, do not commit kufr. So this was a kind of message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those people, that you should not learn magic and you should not commit kufr. Okay, inshallah. We conclude here. JazakumAllah khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.